I'm just going with the flow, so.
You're listening to Three Wise Truck Guys from Key Advisors.
Hey, good afternoon out there, everybody. It's Keith Ely, and welcome to all your listeners of the Three Wise Truck Guys podcast. Today, you only get two of us. Mark is on site with a customer, so it's John Whitnell and myself.
He's dogging it.
He's dogging it.
Yeah, actually, well.
I think he's probably working harder than you or I is today, at least, or at least me. I won't speak for you.
$5 says he's in Hawaii. And
you could be right. You could be right.
Okay. Well, I wish I was with him if he is.
No kidding. No kidding. Hey, you know what? We had a great, I enjoyed the last four sessions we did with Mark leading that on service department throughput. We've had some good questions from it. And, you know, we talked about the rule of twos a little bit, and we've had several people ask for more information about the rule of twos. So if anybody out there wants more information on rule of twos, shoot us an email. We'd love to talk to you about the rule of twos. We're going to circle back there, John. You've been so gracious as to always keep us in the loop on what's happening in the used truck market and, you know, the 2023 forecast and where that's headed. So I think we'll go back into January, like, and do the Wayback Machine and let's talk about what's happening in used trucks and where we're headed and what this last half of the year might look like, if that's okay with you.
Hey, you know what? I like the subject for obvious reasons, but, you know, every 6 months is probably appropriate because there's a lot of moving pieces out there right now, Keith, as you know, yes. In the used truck business. Yes. And this one can really take a great year and tear it up if you're not paying attention. So we're going to update our listeners on everything they need, everything they want to know about the used truck market, but we're afraid to ask today.
Here we go. Hey, let's start like we usually do, though, John. And let's just talk about what's happening out in the market. Where the title is kind of the goods and the bads, I guess. But what are your observations right now?
You know, I got a couple of things that really were interesting to me since our last podcast. So thanks for letting me tee it up first. The first is, and Keith, you and I have both been part of a lot of deals, right? And sometimes these deals, man, they just won't lay down and they just won't go away and issues keep coming up. And it seems like getting to closing is almost impossible. And I've got a client that's in the middle of something like that right now. But man, I really, really respect and appreciate the resolve that these guys have shown. We're now queued up to close on Thursday, which is about 6 weeks after our original date. And the zest for this deal and the ambition to close it, I really take my hats off to these guys. There's a lot of unique stuff going on out there right now. Yeah. There's a lot of uncertainty in the banking community. There's all kinds of reasons why it's tougher to get to a deal. But I really appreciate the resolve these guys have shown in chasing this one down. So if you're in the middle of a deal, don't get discouraged. Keep grinding, keep pounding. It'll come together for you. Keep after it. And that's maybe not a good. It's my advice for a good outcome. How about that?
There you go.
And then as long as I'm giving advice today, you know, I had another situation. It wasn't one of my clients, fortunately, but it was a sexual harassment thing. Mm. And you know what? This is such a sensitive issue right now. And, you know, this is the prospective client. They had their policies. They had their procedures. They had everything all in a row. They just didn't want to follow them. Okay. So, you know, a bit of advice. It doesn't matter who the perpetrator is in an incident like this. Sure. You have to be so careful because your dealership is probably much bigger than it was 5 or 6 or 8 or 20 years ago. When maybe if this came up the first time, you'd be in a different set of circumstances. But today you're expected to act in a professional fashion. You're expected to act accordingly and respect the rights of, you know, the person who has potentially been abused. You have to have a process. You have to follow it. If you waver for a second, everybody in the dealership is watching you. Your culture's at risk. You know, my coaching on this particular one and my advice to anybody that's listening on this podcast is sexual harassment claims can't be treated more seriously. have to be treated in the most serious, urgent fashion that you right. possibly can. Don't for a second think you can dally or turn your head and pretend this will go away. It will not. You need to act forcefully and aggressively and professionally on these particular issues.
Those are the tough ones to visit about, too, you know. I mean, when we talk about most of what we talk about on this podcast, most of it's operational, you know, financial, profitability, whatever you want to talk about. And yet there's that whole people side of it that, man, you try and – I'd say you, quote, try to protect yourself, but if you're not going to be willing to follow the policy and procedures that you – put in place, it's really hard to protect yourself at the same time.
You know, Keith, I've been a part of 100 of these. As you know, when I used to run the DealCorp portfolio mm-hmm. for one of the OEMs, we own 24, 25 dealerships. And so I'd get involved in these issues every week. And the, right. and the story's always the same. This is such a good guy. He just right. made a mistake. I don't care. This mistake is has consequences.
That's right.
And like I say, everybody at the dealership is watching. Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Yep.
If you don't step up to this one and act forcefully and professionally, if you don't do the right thing, it's really going to have economic consequences for the dealership more than likely, but it's going to have cultural implications as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're talking about deals earlier and then this subject as well. And this was, this was not what I was going to bring up as one of my goods and bads, but I don't know, probably 2 years ago, where one of our customers was on a deal and they were doing the due diligence and they started looking at the other assets and there was a house that was on listed under the other assets and they started asking about what this house was and the kids that were selling this entity didn't know that the house was on this was on the balance sheet and the house was not the it was owned by the father but it was not meant for the children to go to or his wife.
Oh boy.
And you want to talk about putting a deal in jeopardy.
Yeah
You know, the deal closed but it became a lot different looking type of deal.
Oh, and yeah,
it tore apart a family too, you know. Just was very, very sad.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I it's interesting you talked about deals because I had deals down on my list too. We've talked to quite a few people just in the last 30 days and some of the conversations have been interesting. One in particular was just the gentleman, I don't think he's ready to sell yet, but his question is now the right time to sell this thing in the next 2-3 years? Because I don't have any idea what's going to happen as electric trucks get introduced into the marketplace. And, you know, I think there's still so many, and I didn't know how to answer him other than I don't know. My answer is I don't know. And I don't know what's going to happen. But I think it's interesting that the gyrations that Toyota Motor Company, you know, went through last week with, you know, some of their investors, trying to vote out the chairman of the board because he was not ready to say that electric was all it. So I find this very interesting.
Yeah, you know, Keith, there's always going to be those issues that that you try and figure out, is this the tipping point or not in terms of whether I make my move now or make it later. Working with one of my clients, doing a lot of background research on EV right now, I would say EV probably is not the issue that would decide now or later if I was to talk to that guy. I think in the car business, that's one thing. I think in the commercial vehicle distribution business, you know, there's a couple of applications that are ideally suited for EV.
Right.
School bus might be one, yard tractors might be another. Had a chance to drive in an electric truck the other day, and the performance and the noise in it were so intriguing, but Keith, a lot of questions about how do I get electricity to my shop to help this guy stay charged up. A lot of questions about weight, a lot of questions about replacement cost of battery packs. I mean, and the answers aren't real. And of course, the economic it's still so profound that so there's a lot of things that'll help keep you awake at night trying to figure out, is this the right time? But, you know, fundamentally to me, it's about scale. Have I got the scale that it's going to take to compete with the MHCs and the Rushes of the world, or don't I? And if I don't, you know what? I need a strategy. And, and especially if you're a one location, two location, the answer to that question is you do not have the girth to hang with these guys, and you better be thinking about doing something.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the other thing that I just, and I think we may have talked to it last time, but I've been very intrigued with a couple of customers of ours that in the last probably 4 to 5 months have done, I would call it experimentation. They're actually doing, quote, a science experiment like thing in their service departments and in their parts departments. But, you know, they're isolating a couple of variables and testing those variables to see if the hypothesis that they've built comes true or not. And so they're really building some fantastic experiments to learn more about what happens if I do that, or what happens if I do this. And you know, some of the things that they're learning in the service side, I think they're things that we've known intuitively, but they've kind of put some numbers to it and started to see that, yeah, you know what? The headcount issue, there really is, I mean, there is some relationship certainly between headcount and profitability, but there's even a bigger relationship between having the right headcount on the admin side and the revenue side of this thing, trying to push the revenue. And a lot of what Mark talked to us over the last 4 months came into play there. So I find the experimentation piece of this very, very interesting right now.
Yeah, learning organizations.
Yep. Hey, let's talk about used trucks. You know, the summary of your 2023 forecast was pretty optimistic, maybe even very optimistic. I think when I look at other used truck analysts, other forecasters, but those at the UTA convention, those that I read, it kind of appeared to be in contrast with those thoughts. I remember when we talked about this back in January as well, you said there were several red flags in this market for 2023 as we moved into the sleeper sector. You were bullish on the day cabs, optimistic on mid-ranges, vocationals, those types of things. We're sitting here just about June 30th now, so about 50% of the year. How's that forecast holding up that you made, John? And what does this look like for the next 6 months?
You know, Keith, that's the best reason I could ever think of for not putting a forecast out, is 6 months later, somebody comes back and says, hey, buddy, how'd you do? Exactly. And, but, you know, I'm actually really excited about that. First off, that was a great summary of the forecast itself. Warning storm clouds in the sleeper sector, but the rest of it, you know, don't talk yourself into recession. It should be a pretty good used truck market. I liked that forecast. I like it still today. I think it's a pretty good summation of what we've experienced through the first 6 months of the year. And right. You know, there's a tendency to get hung up on the challenges in the sleeper sector, which, okay, by the way, they're going to get worse before they get better. Okay. But, you know, we have seen solid demand, right? And as long as there's customers out there buying this stuff, no matter what the challenges are, it could be worse. So we've got plenty of customers, demand still forecasted to be aligned with historical demand. It's real strength in the LFE, mid-range vocational sectors. Right. Real strength, okay? A couple of interesting things going on in the day cab sector we'll talk a little bit about, but you know, the challenges from my perspective at the halfway point, still pretty much limited to the sleeper sector.
Okay. You know, we've got, I was talking to a couple of customers last week, and one of the folks that we're talking to about trying to look at their business to sell, and they said, no way in the world do I want to get into the used truck sleeper business right now. I kind of just stick my foot in the water. Some other customers are saying, hey, this is pretty tough right now in the used truck sleeper segment. What's happened on prices in those first 6 months, and I guess maybe even more than what's happened on the pricing of it. What's caused those prices to fall? I guess that's in a kind term.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to lead with our chin here and start with sleepers first, huh?
Okay.
Okay. Hey.
The bad over. Sorry, John.
Look, this is a little bit of an interesting challenge on a podcast, right? In a 20 group meeting, we could show charts and stuff that might illustrate some of this a little bit better. But, you know, there's no question there's been some downward pressure in the sleeper sector this year. Not sure it's been as profound as I thought it would be.
Really?
But I still think we've got the worst of it still in front of us. So, look, okay. Auction prices down somewhere between 12 and 15% this year. Kind of depends on model year, kind of depends on some stuff. But auction prices have come down. Now, having said that, Keith, if you go back and look at our forecast for 2023, auction prices through the first 5 months, and we're just in June right now, so we don't know what June looks like yet, right? But although prices have come down, we expected them to come down, and they've come down in an ordinarily and predictable fashion. So the auction market is not really where the challenges are. Incidentally, Keith, just in case you're interested, volume has been kind of what's driving auction prices down. Auction activity year over year has increased significantly.
Really?
Volume kills value, right? So anytime volumes go up, you're going to start to have pricing challenges. But where we've seen the biggest challenge in the sleeper sector, and I think to some extent this reflects the fact that dealers are trying to get out in front of this just a little bit, but pricing in the retail asking prices, and again, kind of depends on trucks, so be careful using the rule of thumb, but they've come down about 20%, which is substantially more than that 12 to 15% in the auction market. And all that really says is, you know, there's these channels all move together. The dealer channel was relatively slow to react, relatively slow to lower their asking prices in the second half of 2022. Okay. So now we're just kind of the two channels are just kind of catching up. And what that means is the rate of decline in the retail asking prices has got to be greater than in the auction market to catch up with each other. So, you know, we've got some challenges. Prices are coming down. The one thing that somebody asked me the other day is, you know, hey, this is the worst it could possibly be. And I said, no, it's not. No, it's not. Hang on, man. We're not even back to 2018 to 2020. If you took those 3 years as an average, which I would argue is probably pretty close to what history says where used sleeper tractor should be, we're still 30% higher than that, okay?
Yeah.
Now, percentages can get you out on the window ledge. Look, we're still about $10,000 higher than the 2018 to 2022 average pricing. So, you know, we still got some downward potential in the sleeper sector.
Right.
And Keith, the second half of your question, if I could, is, you know, what's driving this? Well, you know, supply.
Okay.
I'm glad you were sitting down when I told you that answer, okay, because I know that that's got to be a hell of a shock.
Brand new answer. I've never heard that before.
Hell of a shock.
I've never heard that before.
Okay, but
I thought it was always demand.
Supply.
Everything was demand.
Supply, as we've been indicating, all these OEMs are starting to get this supply chain stuff figured out. What that means is U.S. Class 8 retail sales are going up slowly, surely, consistently, and the higher production is translating to higher U.S. Class 8 retail sales. There is a function between Class 8 retail sales and used truck supply.
Right.
And so as retail sales go up, so is used truck supply. And so what's causing some downward price pressure? Supply.
Isn't that always the answer, other than just a few times in this one? Well, I guess it's really the whole market, but in particular the sleeper tractor market. Isn't this always a supply-driven function for the most part, other than maybe what we just went through the last 2 years up to maybe 6 months ago, a year ago?
You know, Keith's others might suggest no, but you know that my answer to that question is yes. Supply always drives these significant pricing corrections. Lack of supply is what drove pricing to heretofore unseen levels, and now a lot of production is going to drive pricing back down to historical levels. And right. We're just on that path right now. You know, it doesn't, any hyperbole, any sensationalism around that is not really appropriate at this point. We're just on the path back to 2018 to 2020.
Okay.
And supply so driver.
So what are the your best dealers doing right now, John, in regards to on the sleeper tractor side? What are they doing in terms of inventory management to make this work better for them?
You know, so I've kind of been sounding the warning alarm for those guys for some time. Okay. But having said that, you know, look, if you've put together a deal with somebody and those tractors, trade-ins are coming your way, they're coming your way. Okay. So now you have to be realistic about your investment and how does that relate to retail asking prices in the marketplace. And you have to make sure that you're priced according to market. The other thing that you have to be doing right now, and it's a little bit harder than it was a year ago or 2 years ago, is, you know, you need to be working your wholesale channels hard. You need to understand what's your average retail used truck, sleeper, tractor sales per month. If you know that we're selling 5 of these a month and you'd like to have a 90-day supply, you need 15 trucks on your yard. You might right. you might still be okay at 16, 17, 18 trucks on your yard. But if you look out the window and you've just taken in a package of 50 trades, you need to do something to make 25 of those trucks go away pretty darn right. quick. Okay. So, you know, when it comes to managing assets, challenge your investment. Make sure your investment is rationalized versus retail asking price in the marketplace. Understand your sales throughput capacity. You may look at those 50 and say, well, I'll get rid of those in 5 months. But if you're only selling 5 a month, you're kidding yourself. And so those are kind of a couple of the basic inflection points, decisions that you have to be thinking about to figure out, do I need to do something radical on those other 25 trucks or can I really digest 50?
Right. Some of these are just the same old fundamentals we've always talked about.
They are. You know, Keith, as it relates to sleepers, though, and the one thing you've heard me say this before, high supply plus high inventory equals catastrophe.
Right.
Okay. And so, you know, one piece of advice I'd give to anybody that's listening right now is to say, you know, sleeper tractor inventory has been increasing. And it's been increasing dramatically the last 60 days, okay? So now we're starting to, what that means is supply is increasing. The proportion of supply that equals sleeper tractors is going up. Hey, that's where OEMs make their most money. So I hope nobody's too surprised at the mix of sleepers that's coming into the marketplace. So, you know, as we sit here today, we have an inventory index that we talk to our customers about. And that sleeper index has just gone through a value of about 8,000. The normal sleeper range is somewhere between 6 and 8,000. Once you crest 8,000, inventory levels are considered high. And once you go above 10,000, inventory levels in the sleeper sector are considered really high.
Okay.
Once it goes above 8,000, we start to see some incremental downward price pressure. Once we go above 10,000, Keith, that's when we start to see some pretty significant downward
right.
pressure.
Right.
So as we sit here today, supply is high. Inventory is still okay. It just actually crept into a warning layer between 8 and 10,000 units that has me a little concerned. I think what that means is we'll start to see downward price pressure on sleepers start to pick up here just a little bit more than we've seen so far in the first 6 months of the year. Incidentally, you know, not to cut you off, sorry about that.
That's okay.
We're not necessarily seeing that on the inventory side in any other sector, right?
Okay.
Sleeper inventory has just crept into a danger, cautionary zone. But you know what? Day cab inventory still in a normal range and low by historical perspective, and mid range inventory still in a normal zone and low by historical perspective. So in those two sectors, I don't expect to see inventory have any influence over pricing for the rest of 2023.
Right. So I want to explore the sleeper cab with a little bit more. Can you still make money in the sleeper cab market?
Yes, especially. So look, Keith, our premise has always been when you buy and sell in the same 90-day window, the opportunity is there. Okay. It's more challenging because a lot of your competitors are going to be lowering their prices.
Right.
A little more challenging, but having said that, as long as you've got a 90-day supply of inventory on hand, you're in the driver's seat and you can kind of control your pricing and how you structure your deals. Sure. You can still make money. And you know, Keith, this is may sound extreme here, okay? But, you know, that old adage on Wall Street, you make money when there's blood in the streets.
Right.
Okay? Look, if you've managed your inventory and you've only got a 90-day supply of inventory, you're in the driver's seat when it comes to what you're willing to pay for inventory, right? Okay, so you can go out and you can be predatory and you can be pretty aggressive in terms of commanding deals. Can you make money in a down sleeper market? Look, just because prices are coming down doesn't mean if you're managing your assets accordingly, have good marketing skills, and are aggressive in terms of your investment positions, that you can make really good money in the sleeper sector. You just have to be better, and you have to have better asset management practices, and you have to be patient, and you have to be opportunistic.
So one more clarification on something you said there. You said 90-day supply of inventory. Is that, and then you talked about the 90-day window. Is that saying that the truck should be gone at 90 days? Or are you saying that at any point in time, you know, your units in terms of, or your inventory in terms of units versus what you're selling, that should be a 90-day supply?
Yeah, Keith, what we'll do is we'll go back and calculate what's the average number of tractors that you've sold the last 360 days. On any given, what's this organization? You know, there's some seasonality here, but on any given day for the last year, how many? Usually, Keith will aggregate both day cabs and sleepers together. But how many tractors do you sell in a given year? And how many tractors have you got in inventory right now? And if you wanted to fine tune that to day cab versus sleeper, you could do that. But using a 12-year average is probably the best look into what the organization is capable of delivering. And then, you know, it's the trick here. We're not trying to land a man on the moon, okay?
Right.
We're trying to have a rule of thumb. Do we have too many trucks or don't we?
Right.
And if I got 15 sleeper tractors out there and I've been selling 5 a month for the last year, I'm pretty sure I got about a 90-day supply. Now, next month I might only sell 4, and a month after that I might sell 8, and then I might sell 3 again, right? So, you know, how you get to that average of 5 is there'll be some volatility in there. But that's a poor man's way of figuring out.
There you go.
If I got 15 and I've been selling 5 a month, I'm in the right neighborhood.
Yep. Okay. So we talked a lot about supply. We talked about, you know, the decline of retail prices on the sleeper side. You've alluded to what's happening in the day cab market. You want to talk a little bit about that, John, if you don't mind, because it seems like it's holding up better than sleeper cabs.
Yeah, I think that's a great characterization right there, too. It is. In fact, that was what we forecasted. The relatives to, you know, we know prices are going to come down, right? They didn't go up as much in the day cab sector as they did in the sleeper sector. So they're not going to come down as much, and they're not going to come down as fast. Okay. There's just the fact that they didn't go up really is going to dictate what's happening. So, you know, prices down a little bit year over year. And the day cab sector is still relatively flat. Now, having said that, you know, the major leasing companies, the last 60, 90 days have been lowering their prices on inventory, and their inventory levels have been growing. Okay. So, and we're starting to see some of that because a lot of their inventory will go to the auction market, and auction prices in the day cab sector have declined a little bit more than we anticipated. Okay. This isn't a free fall, but day cab pricing has softened more than we had forecasted at the beginning of the year. And what's driving that, you know, we're back to that volume kills value sort of thing.
Right.
Leasing companies, their daily rental markets have softened a little bit. Still a really good daily rental market out there, but it's not as white hot as it was last year or the year before at this time. So they're taking some equipment out of daily rental service, and they're starting to get new trucks from the OEMs. So, you know, their inventory levels are building. They're trying to manage their assets. They're liquidating more units through the auction channel. And we're seeing that translate into some softening in auction prices for day cab. And we're also seeing it translate into some softening in asking prices from the major leasing companies.
Okay.
Dealer day cab inventory, remarkably stable. Dealer retail asking prices, remarkably stable. Okay. That's fine for the moment. At some point, when the two big guys in the pool lower their price low enough, it's going to eventually affect you. And so that's the advice we're giving to our clients right now. Keep your eye on what's going on with Ryder. Keep your eye on what's going on with Penske. As we sit here today, though, things still pretty stable in the day cab sector.
And you think that's going to hold up pretty well, too?
You know what, Keith, I'm a little more cautious than I was at the beginning of the year, and we're watching it real close. That's not a great answer, okay? But you know what? It could change pretty quickly if the two big players in the market decide that they're going to change pricing.
Okay.
I do expect it, though, especially compared to what we're likely to see in the sleeper sector the last half of the year. It'll be much more stable than we see in the sleeper sector, even if prices erode a little bit.
Let's turn our attention a little bit then to the MRD and the LFE sectors.
Yeah.
John, again, your forecast when we talked about this in January was strong.
Keith, you know, there's some volatility when you get into markets like this that doesn't necessarily reflect prices. The kind of trucks that we're seeing go across the auction market, the kind of medium-duty trucks, extremely high miles, ragged, kind of rough. So, you know, the prices on equipment like that don't necessarily reflect the broader market.
Okay.
Our position has been that the retail asking prices, which have been essentially flat throughout 2023, I mean, flat, we've got a couple of different track vehicles that we look at. One's a Freightliner and one's an International. Same model year, same specs. It's remarkable to watch the two. This continues to be a very good medium duty used truck market, and I think it should continue to be so. At least through the end of 2023, Keith. Been some up and down in the LFE sector, but you know there's a lot fewer units there, right? So sometimes that smaller unit count explains the volatility. Right. Still darn good LFE market as well. And then, you know, vocational equipment, especially if it's well-specced and decent miles condition, continues to be really, really desirable stuff. The Infrastructure Act is really helping the vocational sector, and equipment in there is really hard to come by. So if you got vocational trucks, you're in the driver's seat.
There you go. Good.
We're going to come back in it here before you hit the unpause button.
Hey, John, you've used the term rollout a little bit. Can you just talk about what rollout is? And then I've got a follow-up question just on rollout in regards to used truck managers. Okay.
Hey, I'm going to give you a two-part answer on that. Okay. The simplest answer and then maybe something that a used truck manager should be considering. Okay. But the simplest answer to that question is if you think a model year is worth $6,000. If somebody said, came up to any used truck manager anywhere and said, what's a model year worth? And he'd say $6,000. He'd say seven. He'd say whatever his number is. And rollout equals whatever that number is divided by 12 months.
Okay.
So if he thought his model year, a model year was worth $6,000 divided by 12 is $500 a month. That's the simplest definition of rollout.
Okay.
Now, another version of that is you might look at the used truck forecast that we develop, and you would go to the for example, in the sleeper sector, we started out, you know, we ended last year at $50,000 for our track vehicle, and we forecasted that by the time we got to the end of this fiscal year, we forecasted the value would be $37,000. So another version is instead of asking him his opinion, you might say, well, we think pricing's going to go down $13,000 this year. And $13,000 divided by 12 months is about $1,000 a month. Okay.
Right.
And that's a a little bit more sophisticated. It takes a little bit of a leap of faith. You have to believe Whitnell's forecast. And you know what? Most people on top of whatever their methodology is, you know, if you thought rollout was worth $500 a month and you went to your customer and said, here's my trade values through this date, every month after that, I'm going to implement rollout, and rollout's going to be a deduction from my base right. values. So everybody would increment. So if you thought it was worth $500 a month, you'd probably tell your customer, hey, rollout is $1,000 a month.
Right.
If you thought it was $1,000 a month, you might say to your customer, hey, it's $1,500 a month, right? Because we're in a market and the market's heading south. That rollout decision, how you position it with your customer, is so critical. It requires some thought. And for, first off, for goodness sakes, if you're quoting trucks that you aren't going to see for more than 6 months,
right.
you better be quoting with rollout. Rollout isn't, rollout is your best friend. Rollout is what protects you from yourself. And, you know, if you say $1,500, your customer might fall out of his chair, but it's just one more element of the deal that has to be negotiated and agreed upon. And my message to anybody that's listening to this call is if you don't use rollout, you're setting yourself up for failure and significant economic consequences. And you better have a rational methodology for how you do that so you can communicate it to your customer in a way that makes sense.
So you, as you and I've talked about this before, and you've used the term of rollout being a used truck manager's best friend, in quotes, right? Best friend.
Yes.
In quotes. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, look, it gives you an opportunity to have a conversation with a customer about market conditions and where the market's going. I just had a conversation with a guy. And he took trucks that he bid 14 months ago, and he didn't put any rollout in there. You know, okay. He had an opportunity to have a conversation to say, hey, I just got done reading this forecast, and it looks like things are heading south a little bit this year, Mr. Customer. We need to talk about that, right?
Right.
It saves you from yourself. Look, if you choose as part of your strategy to waive rollout, well, that's your prerogative. But at least you've put yourself in a situation where you can have a rational business. Now, your customer may come back and say, well, nobody else has got rollout. You're crazy. Well, right. Now you either make a decision that we're going to sign up and hope we're lucky.
Right.
Which rarely happens. Okay. Usually you're unlucky. Okay. That's generally the way these deals go. Or you've made enough margin on the new that you're willing to take a little risk and gamble some of it away. But Keith, if you're bidding trucks in this day and age where we know prices are going down, one of the things we've talked about here just a little bit is the second half of 2023, because supply is going higher, is going to look worse than 2023.
Right.
So this is real time and it's right now. You
right.
know it's going to happen and it's going to happen. 2024, Keith, is going to be the last leg in getting back to the 2018 to 2020 prices. So
right.
prices are going to come down again next year, okay?
Right.
There is no chance prices are going to go up. 2021 is not going to happen again in 2024. It might happen again, but it's not going to happen again in the next 24 months, okay?
Right.
If
right.
you know prices are going down and you're not using rollout, or you're consciously waiving rollout, you better be going to church on Sunday and you better be lucky.
Okay.
Or it's going to come back and it's really going to clobber you.
Okay.
Hey, you know what, Keith? The other thing I'd say, just to repeat, is I'm hearing stories about margins on new truck sales that I haven't heard of in quite a while.
So well, me too. Yeah.
You might have got enough money baked in on the front end of it, but keep in mind you're paying a commission on the gross amount, and hey,
right.
you're rolling the bones. You're
right.
rolling the bones.
Right. So, just you know, we've talked to these different markets of used trucks, and that it's a you know the as always with John Whitnell, and I happen to be in the John Whitnell follower of used trucks, which is supply rules everything, which was one of the most I've told you this before, but it was one of the most astounding pieces of knowledge I think I've ever gained when I look at this business, is when you showed me the demand chart. I don't know how long back that went to, but
by the way, not to interrupt, but we're going back now and we're looking at demand for last year. We're looking at the VIO files and doing that. So another opportunity for me to either be right or not.
There you go. So when you look at what's happening right now, what are your best dealers? We talked a little bit about this in terms of the inventory management, but any other, you know, tips of the trade for our listeners right now as they approach the last 6 months of the year on used trucks? And before you answer, I'm a preface it also that, you know, everybody wanted to be in the used truck business 2 years ago. Right. But
why not?
Yeah. I mean, it was easy.
Actually, Keith, just a your question earlier about can you make money when prices are coming down?
Yeah.
What we discovered 2 years ago is it's possible to lose money even when prices are going up. Okay. Exactly. So, you know, the basics of this business do not change. Exactly. So I pardon me for interrupting. Now go ahead and ask your question.
No, but it's, you know, it's interesting because everybody wanted to be in the business. They went out and paid stupid numbers for trucks that, well, I thought they were stupid numbers. In many cases, they turned them, but now nobody wants to do this. I shouldn't say nobody. That's too big a brush. But those people that said, I want to learn how to do this, now they've backed off. They want to play in this when quote, times are good. Yet my contention has always been, if you understand the fundamentals of this and you have good discipline in this, you can make money in any business cycle you want, but you have to be willing to be disciplined to make this happen. Thoughts along those lines as to what your observations with those customers that you would say are really, really good at what they do?
You know, Keith, to me, the keys for success in this business, and I've been doing this for 30 years, so I don't think I'm going to change anytime soon.
Right.
Number one, you better keep your eye on supply, okay? And specifically in the second half of 2023 and in 2024, supply is going up, okay? We've already talked that inventory levels are rising. By the end of 2023, the sleeper sector inventory will be saturated, okay? You'll be in this worst-case scenario where you've got high supply and high inventory, okay? So number one, do not take your eye off the supply ball. Look at what's going on with supply, and don't put your rose-colored glasses on in the next 24 months because it's not going to change, okay?
Right.
Number two, manage your assets, right? Know where your market's at. Know where you're at. If you've made an investment mistake, don't compound an investment mistake with failure to manage your assets, okay? So manage your assets. Make sure you've got the number of trucks that's going to be required in your market and allow you to optimize your gross margin performance. You know, Keith, to me, the last key, and just don't see anybody really outstanding at this, but, you know, Salesforce Management 101. Setting sales goals, manage your employees, call reports, knowing what's going on. You know, that allows you to manage your assets because you know what people are looking for because you're talking to your sales guys and you're – there's just a lot of basic stuff there. This is not rocket scientists. Understand supply and adjust your investment strategy accordingly. Manage your assets, manage your sales force. You do that, you can make some money.
Very good. You know, this I love this discussion. I love maybe in my next life or maybe in my retired life, if I ever decide to do that, maybe we can get into the used truck business together because we're both pretty smart on this, I think, John. But
I'm still aiming to be as smart as you someday, Keith. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, well, you passed that a long time ago, man. A long time ago. But I think it's I find this department probably the most fascinating of any piece of the commercial distribution business, because it's, you can, as you've said, you can make a lot of money at this in any market, and you can also lose everything you got in any market.
You know,
you can take a good year and make it really bad.
Yeah. Most dealers' risk tolerance runs out right at the front door to the used truck department.
Yeah.
So sure, you can, but most aren't willing to make the investments in people, processes, right, and in order to get there from here. So,
right.
And if you're not, then don't play, because you can get hurt here. It's a rough and tumble playground.
That's right. That's right. Anything more you'd like to talk about, either John, on the, you know, looking back on the first 6 months of the year, or any other thoughts our listeners should have?
Keith, I'm good. I think we've covered the landscape pretty good here.
I think we've covered a lot too. So thank you again, John, for your time. It's always a pleasure to visit with you about this.
So anytime we have a hard subject like used trucks, Martinsic goes missing.
I'm
going to have to talk to that old boy and tell him, you know, just because you pull for Alabama doesn't mean the choice.
That's right.
You got to be an Iowa Hawkeye every once in a while.
There you go.
Or a K-State Wildcat. That's what I meant to say. Excuse me.
We are approaching that time of year pretty quickly, too. You know?
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming.
Yeah, very, very quickly.
So. All right, Keith, thank you for your time.
John, thank you. And to all those of our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in again to the Three Wise Truck Guys. We always appreciate it. If there's a subject that you'd like to have us talk about or dig into further, let us know. Just reach out to us at info@keyadvisors.com. Go to the KEA Advisors website and let us know as well. Next month, I'm not sure what our topic is. I don't have the topic list.
We're going to let our users decide that.
There we go. We're
giving them a homework assignment. Come on, you guys. Muscle up here and give us some good ideas.
There we go.
We won't let you down.
There we go. So if you'd like to learn more about used trucks and get a copy of John's forecast that he put out in January, just shoot us an email. And if there's anything else that we can do for you, please reach out to us as well. So with that being said, John, thanks again for your time. Mark, we hope you're enjoying Hawaii or wherever you're at today,
and go Cats.
Exactly. Go Hawks.
All right. So, thanks, Keith.
Three Wise Truck Guys signing off.
Thanks for listening to Three Wise Truck Guys, the podcast from Key Advisors. We'd love to hear from you. Send us feedback, comments, and questions to info@keyadvisors.com.